Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, wisdom from a community of faith that doesn't think the same, vote the same, or love the same, but we are trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus with compassion and hope.
I wonder if you've ever had a time in your life when you thought that you were right. Or you made a decision so determined, or you forced an action, and then it turned out to be wrong. Or maybe you thought when you were younger that as you got older, you'd know more. I did. And how wrong I have been. The older I get, the more it feels like, the more I have to learn. Do you remember a time when you were so sure that you knew what was best, yet hindsight was 20/20? You should have listened a little longer. You could have taken a step back. You could have asked a question. You could have waited or eaten a slice of humble pie. When we mark moments in the history as a church, like today, on Orange Shirt Sunday, we're invited to pause first. Because when we remember the Indigenous children and families destroyed by residential schools, it's a mirror being held up to our heritage. It casts a shadow or a light on the places where we acted so righteously, thinking we knew what was best. And it might be easy to blame certain individuals or to put it on a history that was past, and yet we are part of that heritage, the joy and the struggle of it all. Today, we are invited into the only posture I know when I ask forgiveness or know that I have done wrong, the posture of humility. Knowing what we know and hearing the stories and feeling remorse and witnessing to the pain. We also know that this is not the only time when we as a church have not taken a path of compassion and built relationships. And if you forget that, then invite some friends who don't go to church to dinner and then ask them what their experience is of church. And if they're honest, I'm certain a story of hurt or pain might arise. Over and over, we have failed to seek the way of wisdom. Wisdom that pauses and considers who's being cared for, neglected, or noticed. Wisdom that looks back and learns from our experience, from others' experience. Wisdom that is awake to when things went off the rails, to what was left out or forgotten. That wisdom that discerns if the path forward will hurt or will harm. Wisdom that makes room for difference. Today, I can't help but think how different things would be if, as settlers, we had come ready to live into the ancient Christian practice of hospitality, showing welcome to the stranger, sharing food and daily life, seeing our interconnectedness as a strength, learning from each other's ways. In fact, when we received this hospitality from Indigenous people, our actions of reciprocation, sometimes even titled as hospitality, were deeply disturbing. So, knowing all of this, we embark on recovering the depth of this ancient practice of hospitality, in remembering how it shaped the early disciples and how it can shape us now. In order to do that, it seems fitting today that we give honest and serious attention to the failures and omissions and tragedies in the story that allow us to make use of its strength. Because that is the strength. When Jesus taught us about forgiveness, it began with us aware and knowing what we might need to ask forgiveness for. We know the consequences when persons or children are excluded and denied welcome. We are being invited today to reclaim and recover another way. And in the words of Henry Nouwen, if there is any Christian concept worth restoring to its original depth and evocative potential, it is the concept of hospitality. To say yes to being part of communities of faith in this time where we're wrestling with our history is to say yes to reclaiming what might heal and restore, and to leaving behind things that have been harmful and hurtful. Now let's take another pause, because I want to know what comes to mind when you hear the word hospitality. Is it having family and friends over for dinner, for a meal, the pressure of preparing and welcoming people to your home? Or is it the hospitality industry of hotels and restaurants? Perhaps in your experience, it's a committee, a hospitality committee that greets visitors, that provides for coffee hour. And your memory is invited today to go back further than what you have known, and to connect all of those experiences of welcome when they have felt right and authentic to the ancient practice that goes way deeper than donuts. Welcoming people with different abilities, welcoming students and seekers and refugees. In the next 9 weeks, we're going to really deepen into this practice known as making room, recovering it as a spiritual obligation, a dynamic expression of a vibrant faith, considering hospitality as a practice of the Christian life and as a central dimension of what Christian morality could really be about. We spend a lot of time in the church trying to define that, trying to say who's in and who's out based on sets of rules. But what would it be like if we define it by welcoming people to the table? Anyone. And we come to this not randomly. We come to it out of ancient stories in our scriptures. Think of ancient Israel understanding themselves as strangers and sojourners. And as they were being welcomed, it was also their responsibility to care for the vulnerable strangers in their midst. It was part of what it meant for them to be the people of God. And how about Jesus' whole life and ministry, dependent on the hospitality of others during much of his earthly sojourn, and also serving over and over and over again as the gracious host in his words and his actions? And how about Paul, in the midst of him trying to help communities to follow in the way of Jesus, he over and over encouraged them to welcome one another as Christ welcomed them, to pursue hospitality. In fact, it was a qualification for leadership in early Christian communities. It did not matter if the minutes were perfect or if everyone agreed, but did they eat together? Did they share life together at table? And were they constantly making room for others to come? There is something holy about hospitality that is important and life-giving for the people being welcomed, and equally so for those doing the welcoming. And the role of guest and host continues to change depending where you are and when you arrive. And we have gratitude for theologians and writers and thinkers who have been wrestling with this. Sometimes they're way ahead of us, noticing the trends of churches that have stopped feeding people, that have stopped making room. And Christine Pohl, 25 years ago, decided she'd write her doctoral thesis on this ancient practice. That book was called Making Room, Recovering Hospitality as a Christian Tradition. And she spent 10 years connecting to 8 communities to glean from them what were the joys and the struggles, and how could we learn from them. the book and her work has been so impactful on the wider church that 25 years later, it's been published again. And we're receiving it to study in Bible study this year ahead, but also it will inform our practice as a congregation for the year ahead. In her meeting with people, Ephesus, ministers, community leaders, one of the things that she kept noticing was a community which embodies hospitality to strangers can be a sign of contradiction. It's a place where joy and pain, crisis and peace are interwoven. That friendships forged in hospitality contradict those contemporary messages about who's valuable and good to be with and who can give life to others. Such communities, she writes, are also signs of hope that love is possible and that the world is not condemned to a struggle between polarities, between oppressors and the oppressed. It is not that simple. And yet we watch people trying to make it that simple. The practice of hospitality invites us to be at the table differently. And Philip Haley, an ethicist who spent years studying the human capacity for evil and good, concluded that the opposite of cruelty is not simply freedom from the cruel relationship, but it is hospitality. Hospitality can change our minds, can change our experience of knowing each other. And after studying a French Protestant community that offered hospitality to thousands of Jewish refugees during World War II, that same ethicist concluded that deeds speak the language of the great virtues far better than the words do. In fact, words limp outside the gates of the mystery of compassion for strangers. We want to live into what that could look like. People have spent a lot of time talking about it. In fact, if you Google most churches, there's some kind of tagline about welcome. Everyone seems to be doing the exact same thing, and yet that isn't our experience, is it? Here in this place, we're invited into what a number of ancient civilizations have viewed hospitality as, a pillar that all morality rested on. They describe it as encompassing the good. That deep knowing when you're in alignment with what matters and how you're acting. In the days and weeks ahead, we're being invited to be even more and more congruent. We will ask the questions about this ancient practice. Where does hospitality fit in this biblical story? And why does Jesus, both as needy guest and gracious host, make hospitality compelling for us? And if it was so important to the early church, then why did it get lost in that we got so caught up in who was in and who was out? And how is it related to having people be seen and known, giving them dignity and respect? What does it mean to see Jesus as our guest? Why is eating together so important? What makes a good host? Do people see themselves in this place when they arrive here? Is there room for them? How do we let love be here? How do we let love make room when it seems hard with our own biases and our own preferences? I know that one of the ways is to worship together, to make a commitment to being present to each other, and to know that that community goes beyond these walls and is connecting us outside of here. I also know there's an invitation to be at table, whether that's with the whole community in time of hospitality following each service, or whether that's just one invitation to one person to spend a little time together. And that can be anything from a cold drink of water to a peanut butter sandwich to whatever might be in the fridge. This is an invitation for us to see what it looks like together, to take what's already been prayed and done in this place for years and give some language to it for each other. We know what it feels like to bump up against being rejected or having there be no room or making a reservation and someone else took your place. That's the feeling we want to inform what might look like in another way. And when I'm really not sure what to do about how to embody a practice, well, I like to sing about it. And actually, we have quite a number of hymns that teach us about that. But more and more, as the world thinks they know what church is about or has been about or unsure what it could be about, having music that helps us embody what we believe and what our actions are is important. And so Jason and I had a chance to write a song together. It's song number 2. We're not sure how many more there will be, but this one moment will mark a time for our community to sing into recovering this Christian practice of hospitality. We dedicate it to the ones who have been holding that space in Stuart East Hall and beyond, to the depth of practice that when people talk about what is Islington about, we always keep coming back to hospitality. The mystery of hospitality is how often one senses God's presence in the midst of very ordinary activities. As we make room for this, more room becomes available to us for life, for hope, and for grace. So I invite you, in your bulletin, to turn to the words of this song that will be a prayer for us and for the church in the days to come.
Thanks for listening, friends. For other ways to connect, go to islingtonunited.org. May God's wisdom and love keep finding you.